What up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Black Expat Podcast. My name is Carl, and I am excited to be rocking with you guys for yet another episode. All right. I'm actually very, very honored and blessed and a whole bunch of other words to be joined. We are actually, I'm broadcasting live on site. This is, you guys, a heads up. You might hear some noise in the background. I may edit it out. I'm probably not going to edit it out. It takes too much time to do that. And right now I'm super busy, but I have an amazing guest on that I have to make sure I got on the podcast before she departs the lovely, the amazing place that I've caught home for so long. And so has she, Taiwan. So without further ado, I will allow her to introduce herself and we'll jump right into the podcast.
Hi, everybody. I'm Daniela. I am also a DePaul grad, so that's how I know Carl. Mm-hmm. Known Carl for about, what, 5 years now? Mm. Yeah, five years now. So, yeah, I actually came out here largely because our university and Carl had an internship program out here back when I was 20. So I came out during one summer to just try out teaching and experience Taiwanese culture for the first time. And then I decided I wanted to come back full time. So I've been out here for 2 years full time now, but quickly heading back to the U.S. So, yeah, happy to be here.
Woo. Well, welcome to the show, Daniela. If you guys don't know, you probably should know or get hip to the fact. DePaul University, through my time of being there, again, me and Daniela have a slight age gap, not too big, not too small, but it's still there. No, we ain't gonna get into the details, Daniela. I know you want to say it. No details. DePaul, when I was there, was known as one of the top drinking universities in all the land.
Well, it was like number 13
in the country.
Yeah, yes. Which for like a really small liberal arts school in the middle of nowhere
was kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
Now, full disclosure, you guys know, I didn't start drinking until I turned 21. Daniela was drinking out the womb. I don't know. I just made
Excuse
that up.
Excuse me? No.
She was not drinking out the womb. But in true DePaul fashion, we will, as we are live broadcasting, take a shot to. So, welcome to the podcast, Daniela. This is one of the first podcasts. You guys heard that clank in the microphone, didn't you? Yeah, it was sexy, I know. It's the first time in a long time I've had a guest on site. So, hey, welcome to the podcast. That's good old fashioned, kind of good, but not that good whiskey. But it was all right. It wasn't bad. Ooh, my mouth burned a little bit. So, Daniela, what you talked a bit about what brought you to Taiwan, right? But what kept you here after visiting as an intern, and what made you decide to say, you know what, I'm going to double back and try teaching full time out here in Taiwan?
Yeah. Okay. A lot of reasons. First of all, just as a young woman, Taiwan is really the only place, I think, in the world that I feel like 100% safe walking down the street. It can be any time of day or night, 2, 3 in the morning. Hmm. I can even be listening to music and I feel safe. It's a safe place for a woman to be. I don't get catcalled here. I don't get harassed. None of that, you know? So that's definitely one thing that I really loved about Taiwan from the get-go. Then just in general, every time I've been in Taiwan, the hospitality, people have been super friendly, welcoming, just like inviting me into cultural experiences, just really showing me their lives, inviting me into their homes. So that's been amazing. And then just in general, like, Taiwan is beautiful. You've got your mountains, you've got your ocean. I'm a big nature person. You've got great, great hikes. The food is great. Life is really convenient. You can go to 7-Eleven and like pay your bills, buy train tickets, pick up your packages, literally everything. Super convenient. So yeah, it's just a great place to live all around. I'm honestly really sad to be leaving. I've had a great time here. The teaching experience, while it obviously has its ups and downs, was really great. I loved my students a lot, still do. But yeah, it just comes a point where you gotta take the next step, you know?
Yeah, the next step is different for everyone. It points many people in many different directions, but let's take a step forward and back, I guess. What kind of teaching experiences have you had here? Because the listeners have definitely heard me talk about the types of things I've done while in Taiwan. It's been a lot of different things. But what has the teaching experience been like for you? And what experiences have you had?
Yeah, so when I first came that one summer, I did the internship with Carl. But I was working in the elementary school just doing like summer camp material. Oh, so like, yeah, the little ones. So we did things like teach restaurant vocabulary, things like that, and then like take them to the restaurant. Cute little things like that. They're all excited. And then, then the second time I came to Taiwan, because I actually did come two summers when I was in college. We had a professor at DePauw named Sherry Mo. She encouraged me to come out here both times. So, thank you, Sherry, if you listen.
Shout out to Professor Mo.
Yeah, Professor Mo. But anyway, so yeah, the second time I was actually working on an internship with the Taiwanese Department of Education. So they paired me up with like teams of local Taiwanese college students who were majoring in education. And we went around for 5 to 6 weeks to different locations all around the island, like rural locations where they didn't have really any English program going on in these schools, these public schools. So we did summer camps in all these locations, and it was like we slept on the floors of our classrooms for all those weeks, like showered at the school, and it was really local locations, like in the mountains or by the ocean, places like this, where the traditions were like very much alive. Like I remember walking out of the school one time in the middle of banana fields. Like to this day, I do not know where the students came from. Like they would just kind of like materialize out of the banana trees every morning. But yeah, I'd leave the school and like run into, you know, random things like a temple god celebration down the road at night with the firecrackers. And yeah, it was really cool. A lot of those kids had never like even seen a foreigner before, or like definitely never had English taught from a foreigner before. And yeah, and then after that, coming back full time, I taught at the private school in the New Taipei City area. It was a whole different experience. Yeah. You got usually classes of 30 to 40-ish students. So any given semester, you've got upwards of 200 students with multiple different subjects. Busy times, but also a very good experience. It can be a lot of fun. The kids have a lot of energy, so you can really go wild with it. So, yeah.
Sounds like you had a wild and crazy time.
It was.
Yeah, teaching a variety of different kids. And I mean, that's definitely part of the experience, I think. Like I always said, when I first came, being at one institution or one school for 7 or 8 years definitely shaped my perspective a lot. It wasn't until because you listen to other people's stories about teaching in Taiwan or teaching wherever and how different it is. And I always had to play back to that. Well, I've been in my same school for 8 years, but having the experience in different places really taught me to not only appreciate where I started, but just appreciate every part of the process and how different things are and how great they could be. But yeah, Taiwan overall, kids are cool, heavy in tradition. Like among other things as well. So it's definitely a good place to be. So when you first came here, you had a roommate. How's it been? How was it having a roommate when you came versus now not having one in your final, I think, year or so without one?
Yeah. The first year I came out here with a roommate that I had my last year in college.
Oh, okay.
So it was good because it definitely made the transition smoother. Mm. But we also like worked together, lived together, all of the things. So I think it kind of was easy for us to have just a small bubble. Like that's when you move to a different country, it can be very comforting to have that familiarity. But like, I think it definitely, to some extent, limited us from like going out and meeting more new people. It was very comfortable for us to just be like, all right, we're tired from teaching for the week. We're going to stay home. We're going to like watch some Netflix, and then maybe we'll go out and do something tomorrow. Like go explore something, you know. It just was pretty comfortable. But I think it definitely did make the transition smoother. The second year I was on my own. It was different. I think it was good. I think it definitely helped me grow a lot and mature a lot and just have to really expand on and like develop more of, you know, just more local relationships with more people, which gave me a bigger picture on just the local culture and just Taiwan life in general. So I think that was good. On the other hand, it can be incredibly lonely at times. I lived in this old building. There were cracks in the walls and like, you know, the usual just like really humid weather. So there's paint chips falling and stuff. And it's an area that has lots of earthquakes, right? Taiwan has lots of earthquakes. So I used to picture sometimes and I'd be laying there and I'd think to myself, no one knows I live here. If there's an earthquake and I'm like buried under rubble, who knows if anyone will find me? Like, no one knows I live here. So just these kinds of things where I think it was good for me. It pushed me, but it definitely has its lonely moments for sure. Yeah.
So always, that this is a word to the wise, always share your location permanently with one or two people, you know, in your life in case something like that happens. No matter if you're living abroad or if you're back at home. So like, hey, this happened. This person is here. I see where they are, but I can't find them. Oh, my God. Always share your location. And once a night, text somebody in your life, you love them, and then tell them where you're at.
True.
It seemed like something simple, but definitely something that I've implemented.
Yeah, I don't remember these things.
It's written down on my vision board and my whiteboard. And I give myself calendar reminders to make sure that I do it as well. So, you know, that's cool. So if you had to put like three major highlights, like things that when you reflect back on your time in Taiwan, whether it's as an intern or as a full-time teacher, what are like the top three things that you would think about and you would automatically relate to? Man, that takes me back to the time I was in Taiwan.
Oh, wow. Okay. Wow. That's a big question. There's just so much. I feel like my time here has been just so rich and so full. I think definitely I had a homeroom of 41 students last year. And they're in seventh grade. So, you know, like very ups and downs emotionally. And, you know, teenagers, they're not like very good at expressing their emotions. So some days you're like, man, do they hate me? Do they love me? I do not know. But just like, there were a few times in the last year that they came together to just like really celebrate me and just like they would write me these beautiful cards about like how much I meant to them. And that is something I will never forget because, you know, you come over here and you want to have like the cultural experience and you want to, you know, have the experience of living independently in another culture. Mm-hmm. But you also want to, you know, connect with people, right? Mm-hmm. And so that to me was very memorable because it felt like I achieved one of the goals that I wanted, you know, which was to at least have an impact on at least one person, you know, or at least to form a bond with at least one person. When I told them I was leaving, I was pretty emotional about it. And then this summer they were like, hey, teacher, can you come back on this one day? So I show up and they had like done this whole surprise party for me with cake and cards and presents, and they did a skit and one kid sang, and it was really special. They did like a slideshow on the computer too with pictures and music. That's really memorable. And just like all of the big celebrations with them, like for Christmas decorating our classroom, and sports day, just like cheering them on and having a good time out there, that's definitely top. There's too many moments, Carl. I think just like in general, all of the traveling experiences, because Taiwan is so well situated, so I was able to just go through so much of this part of the world, like on my own, and just have so many random adventures and like trying to figure out how do I navigate transportation systems and budgeting and all of this crazy stuff, which like really helped me grow a lot. I don't know. There's too many stories there to count, but just traveling in general mm-hmm. out here has been great. Then I don't know, a recent like just example of just the warmth and wholeheartedness of Taiwanese people was, and it's something I'll never forget, this old landlord that I had recently, short-term landlord, he saw me going out in the rain one day, and I'm a very forgetful person, so I never remember my umbrella, I never remember any of these things, and he stops me and he goes, "It's raining outside, don't forget your raincoat." And I was like, "Okay, I don't know where it is." And he goes, "You left it in the back room." He runs and gets it. I didn't even remember it was back there. He runs and gets it, and he brings it back to me. He had folded it up perfectly, put it in a little plastic bag that he had tied up, and as he hands it to me, he says, "And I fixed the hole in the shoulder." And I was so touched, because that to me is like a perfect like encapsulation of just how Taiwanese people have welcomed me and just, you know, always had these little details, which is interesting to me, right? Because coming from a Latino background, I've been so used to like really overt displays of warmth, right? Mm-hmm. Like people just like going in, hugging you, kissing you immediately. And I've missed that while I've been here, because that's not the case here, right? It's like, it takes time for people to warm up to you. But at the same time, it's like, Taiwan is also an incredibly warm place in a different way than what I've been used to. So that's been something that has been surprising, beautiful, and also something that has taken time for me to get used to. Yeah.
Okay. Cause I know, cause oftentimes when I know when, just, I always want to make it a point during when I'm interviewing people who are either in Taiwan, been there, like no matter how long they've been here, if they're transitioning out or coming, just to highlight those kind of experiences, right? The experiences mm-hmm. in teaching. Because there are a bunch of people who come here who maybe have never thought of being teachers or who really came here to teach. But there are those moments in the classroom with their students where it's just like, man, they really make you feel welcome. And again, maybe the school isn't doing that. Sometimes they do it, sometimes they don't. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, I think it's safe to say that for the majority of people, the students, if you are passionate, if you display that love and that dedication in the classroom, that it is reciprocated from the students and mm-hmm. even the parents in most points of time. Yeah, so I think that when you come to Taiwan, if it's only about making money, then most likely you won't have the best time. True. Like you'll find pockets of happiness, but you may not be in the best school or have the best school experience because your passion and your dedication isn't fixated on, you know, mm-hmm. what's the most important, which is in the classroom with the kids, if you're here to be a teacher. So again, it's always really, really good to hear about how, you know, being in the classroom is, and the memories that you have from that. Because that's one reason that I stayed in Taiwan, as you know. Mm-hmm. After my first year, I was like, oh, I didn't want to be a teacher, but I fell in love with the students in the classroom.
Yeah.
And the environment and the love that I felt, but the impact and the difference that I was making.
Yeah.
Which was amazing.
Yeah, that's what made it hard to make the decision to go home, because it was my kids that was really what was the big thing up for consideration, because they often have like such high turnover with foreign teachers. And I had seen so many classes before me go through, like they have 3 years in junior high and every year they have a new foreign teacher. And I really didn't want them to have to go through that. So I really had to wrestle with that decision a lot, because I really do care about them a lot. So it's hard. It's hard because it's living this life. It's like you really become attached to the place. You give so much of your heart to it, but you also have so much of your heart back home, you know? So you're really living with that split. So.
And that's definitely true, because I mean, one of the things that I think people oftentimes take for granted is the connection that you do make and how evident it is. Mm-hmm. One of the luxuries I had was, because I was at my old school, the school that you worked at, the first school for 8 years. So I was able to see, my first class was a junior one class, grade 7. Mm-hmm. I was able to see them go from junior high school, graduate junior high school, and then senior high school and graduate junior high school. And for me, the moment where my first kids I ever taught graduated senior high school, I was like, oh man, it's time for me to go. That's when I kind of knew, it was like, you know what? I've seen every step, every level that it is for students to do. And even my elementary school students were in junior high school and graduated and were going to high school. Mm-hmm. But those weren't my kids. They were just in the same school and I knew them and I taught them once or twice, you know, just subbing, but they knew me and they remembered me. So mm-hmm. again, that whole process is just amazing. It's a great thing to be a part of.
Yeah.
So now when you're thinking about going back home, first of all, what are you excited about? What are you not so excited about and why?
Yeah, I mean, it's so crazy, right? Because it's like I said, I love the safety here. I love the convenience here. I love the ability to travel here, although obviously right now that's not possible. And I just love, yeah, just everyday life here. I've loved it, right? But at the same time, there's always that feeling of like, what am I missing out on back home, you know? And I did go back to visit back in January. And it was crazy because when I got on the plane to come back here, even though I love Taiwan so much, but there was a part of me that didn't want to go, right? Because I went home and I was like, man, even though life is not as convenient, it's like, this is home. I know how things work here, like 100%. I don't have to navigate the trickiness of like being in another language, being in a completely different culture. Yeah, and just like being with family, you know, I've got a nephew who's, is he turning 5 this year? Yeah. You know, it's like these huge steps, you know, when they're little like that, that you feel like you leave and you miss a bunch, you know. Yeah. And my brother just had another kid recently too, and I haven't gotten to meet her yet. And it's those kinds of things I'm really excited to be back for so that I can be around for those moments. I'm excited to see my mom. And just be close to her. We got a really strong bond. And I'm excited to start a job. As much as I've loved teaching, it's not what I want to do my whole life. So I'm really excited to start a job more in like the area which I studied. So that's exciting. I can't wait to do that. I'm really just excited for random foods. Like, I don't know, just like.
Man, tacos.
Yes.
Consistent tacos.
Like good tacos.
There you go.
Good cheese products. Anything with cheese on it.
No, I like those intolerant. I don't mess with that.
Yeah, I know. But yes, and just like random fast food crap that I miss. You know, this kind of thing, it's small things, but it's just the random things that you miss. So, yeah. I don't know. I do not miss the cold weather, though, so I'm not particularly looking forward to that. Not particularly looking forward to our political climate. Kind of terrifying to think about that. But I am ready to go early vote in person. So, yeah. Yeah, COVID's not great over there. I've loved living in Taiwan where we've been mostly like untouched by that and have had like competent government response.
Touch lightly.
Yeah, but mostly life has been
since May.
Yeah, it's been mostly normal. And I don't know what else.
A lot of stuff.
Shoot, it's really weird to think about. Honestly, like I know it's happening next week, but it doesn't feel real. So I don't really know. I don't know. I guess in my mind, it's like, yeah, it's happening, but is it really happening?
I think like once you get to the airport and still it doesn't kick in, when you're in the security checkout line, doesn't really kick in. And even when you're going through the customs line, it doesn't really kick in. And it probably won't be that crowded because of COVID, but.
Yeah. I think even just the fact that like, this has been a place that we fly out of a lot of the time, to go to different places to travel makes it feel like, yeah, but I'll be back. Right. Because
it's part of being in Taiwan. Part of being in Taiwan for everyone is the fact that you are able to travel to different places. But I know I haven't left the country since almost a year now, which has been the longest stretch of time.
Yeah.
Residing in Taiwan without leaving a year, which is that's a lot, right? It's people are like, oh wait, I don't go on vacation every year.
Or, for me, yeah.
But think about it, even if you're back home in America, no matter where you live, you either go to another state or the county, it's still like a change of honestly, going from Chicago to Indiana is like going to another country.
Yeah.
it's very different food wise, culture wise, people wise, like it is. Being stuck, if you will, in Taiwan has its downsides. However, there are a lot of very cool places to visit in Taiwan. Like this, first of all, I hope she don't get mad, but there's a place where there's like a bathtub that overlooks the mountainous areas, and it looks like a huge bathtub, and I love big bathtubs. What? I literally chased them in Taiwan. And Julia, who's listening, went to it, and I definitely want to go to that spot. One, anybody who loves me know I go hot spring and bathtub chasing in Taiwan. I always want to get one with a great scenic
view. Where is
this
bathtub?
I don't know, but I hope she calls in and tells us something.
Let us know, Julian.
I don't know.
I think it's Sun Moon Lake.
It might have been in Sun Moon Lake, but whatever it is, it was amazing. And I've only been able to find like two amazing bathtubs. And one is actually in Taichung. It's like a bathtub made for Shaquille O'Neal, and I felt great in it. I found that one big one, and then
the hotel is called
Miracolo. Okay.
Okay.
So hotel called Miracolo in Sun Moon Lake. I'll be going there soon. I'm a bathtub chaser. Thank you, Julia. For those of you guys who like bathtubs in Taiwan, hit me up. I may or may not tell you. Make sure it's not booked before when I'm going. But yeah, I mean, there are a lot of undiscovered gems in Taiwan that you could find. But again, sometimes it runs out. And if you work full time, the travel time in Taiwan, everyone usually travels at the same time. So it's hectic. True. So you have to book months in advance. But again, the good thing is now that you know you may or may not be leaving for COVID, you have that time to book only Taiwan in advance.
Yeah.
Last minute trips aren't.
Well, that's been the good thing. I had basically the past month and a little bit more. A little bit more than a month to just really take full advantage of my time because I haven't been working to just explore and do all these things. I had a super long list, but like teaching is so time consuming. Ooh. This is like, honestly, respect to teachers everywhere because all across the world, this is the case. Like it's a lot of work and it's constant and it's all the time, right? So even when you have a little bit of time, it's like usually you just want to relax. Yeah. So I had a long list of places I wanted to go to all across like northern Taiwan and then also the East Coast mostly. The East Coast is amazing. If you ever get to Taiwan, go to the East Coast, basically the whole East Coast. So I finally used that time to really get to explore and check out some of those places on the list. And it's been amazing. Taiwan is, it's beautiful. I actually got stuck in Hawaii on my way back to the US last visit because they canceled my flight from Tokyo to Chicago. So they rerouted me through Hawaii, through Honolulu, which was honestly fine. I just rented a car and I went out and like explored around, hiked Diamond's Head. And Hawaii was beautiful, but I kept thinking to myself, you know, I don't know. I feel spoiled because I was like, Taiwan is basically the same. You know, it's very similar vibe, similar landscape. So I really felt like, wow, I'm super lucky because Taiwan is just as beautiful as Hawaii. And people are always, you know, talking about Hawaii and everything. Taiwan is less well known. But I would say it has just as much to offer in terms of natural beauty. So.
Like, I've only sent my mom to Hawaii before I went because, you know, take care of moms first. But I definitely want to make it to Hawaii just to see. And I heard they got bomb-ass lobster. And anybody who knows me knows I love seafood. Take a break real quick. If you guys have not, please become a patron of the Black Expat Podcast. This is my full-time job moving forward and forever, hopefully. So make sure you're going to become a patron of the podcast. Click the link in the description. Or if you're on Podbean, click where it says in the app. Become a patron. It'll take you right to my Patreon page. But yeah, I mean, one of the things I want to touch on really quickly was the moment I stopped teaching, I realized that what teaching did for me out here, being far away from family amid a pandemic, living with my best friend, but still being far away from friends, really, really close friends, including you, it was a placeholder. I was delaying things that I should be processing emotionally. In a lot of ways, because I can get so caught up with teaching and just really immerse yourself in it. But once I stopped teaching, I got into more of my hobbies. I connected more with my family. I talked to my sister on the daily, my mother daily. Something I always wanted to, but it's just so easy to get busy in your busy season. You just need that time to yourself. But once I pulled myself away from it, I think that if I ever got back into it, I would structure my time differently. I maybe would choose the schools that I want based on what I know I need as an individual, what they potentially offer. But more important, it's like, man, breaking away from that and then realizing what you want to do and having more time to think through what you want to do as an expat is necessary. I think as expats, sometimes we get caught up in, oh, the pay is great and the cost of living is amazing, I can travel. But there's so many more things that we need to be processing this as humans, especially during this pandemic era. So that is something I definitely agree 100%. I did realize that about myself. And I also realized that I was in a very toxic work environment. Very bad people I worked around, specifically the leader of the group. And that just, and Daniela said it when she walked in, she's like, man, first time I've ever in a long time from working here, seen you smile when you open the door. And it's just little things like that, people that, you know, love and know you understand. You're like, man, yes, I'm really glad I needed to leave that place because it was literally killing me. So again, Patreon, subscribe to my Patreon, definitely podcasting full time. But yeah, it's life changing. But yeah, as teachers, you get so into what you're doing that you also have to make sure you take time for yourselves. And that's why I think teachers around the world, even in Taiwan, still are undervalued and underpaid. We all know that. But man, yeah, it's definitely good to have that perspective to stop teaching like you have and just be on the island and pick up a part-time job where you teach on your time when you want to, and you're not having to grade papers every day and work late every day and get up early every day, and you can still make money, but still spend time exploring. I think that's what life should be alike, and that's what life is about. It's about exploration and finding yourself and not committing 80 hours a week to a place that'll let you go in 80 seconds.
Yeah, and I don't think that's necessarily to say like not investing in the kids either, because I think you have to strike the balance, right? Because I'm also very against people who are just like, let me just come out here, enjoy, but I don't give a crap about the kids. I just am here to like do my own thing and enjoy myself. I also hate that. I think you definitely have to strike the balance between the two to really get like that full fleshed out, you know, good experience that not only benefits you, but the people around you, you know? So,
What's it like being trilingual?
Trilingual.
And going back
home. Okay, listen.
You're trilingual.
Technically, I'm like 3.5 lingual.
Oh,
if that's
sorry.
A word.
Seis, uno, dos, tres, cuatro lingual.
Yeah. Because I speak Spanish and Portuguese too, and English. Yeah. What's it like?
I mean, well, like going back home, where you're going to be using more, more Spanish back home, right?
Yes. Yeah. That is something I'm very excited about. I love speaking Spanish. I feel like a whole nother side of my personality comes out. I mean, I grew up speaking Spanish in the home, and I will be working with Latino families in Louisville, Kentucky, and some other refugee families as well. It's a nonprofit that works with them, like within the healthcare system, primarily with families that have newborn babies. So I'm super excited about that because it's way more related to what I studied. And I think it also has way more of a clear, like, this is work time, this is not work time boundary. So that'll be awesome. But yeah, it'll be cool to just be able to function in that, you know, two culture world again, where I can have my foot in both, which is a huge part of my identity, right? And something that I felt not as connected to out here. It's so interesting because when I meet other Latino people in Taiwan, it's just like immediate explosion of happiness. Like when we start speaking Spanish, it's like, and your just demeanor changes completely. So that'll be super excited. I cannot wait for that.
I mean, I know out here, I don't know if you think you'll, I was always, I don't know if you go back, do you feel like you're going to lose your Chinese? If that's not a concern of yours?
You know. Oh, wait.
Yes. Are you reading what Julia said?
Yeah, I'm reading what Julia said. Yeah, she said, because, I met Jose.
at Arts and Crafts.
It was at your bar for the for your New Moon Festival.
It was a year ago.
Yeah, the Moon Festival barbecue. Yeah, and I met him, fellow Latino, and we both just started talking a bunch of Spanish and just like so excited. Yeah, it's true. I was very happy
in that moment coming and saying, like, "Oh my God, come on!" I was like, "Yeah, you guys having a good time."
I know.
I was hella busy.
Yeah. But that's how I always am. I met, there's a taco place in Taipei with a Mexican guy who runs it, similar to my story because he grew up in Canada. But same, like when I talk to him and his wife, and he was like, I don't get to speak Spanish enough out here. And we were both like, yeah, like our tongues start feeling clumsy when we speak Spanish. And he hooked me up with a bunch of jalapenos, which I cannot find out here, but he has like his own farmer and stuff. So it's nice when you find like those random people. But yeah, it'll be nice to get back with that. But yes, I am concerned about losing my Chinese, because I just got to this point where like I can finally understand most things going on around me. I can speak, I can have a conversation, but my grammar is still crap, and but yeah, I finally reached this point where I feel like I can be proud of it and actually use it somewhat. And now I'm leaving. And I've also been studying it for so long. I mean, when I say I've actually shed tears on this language, I have shed tears, because I'd studied it all through college. And then also here, nights, I would go 4 hours a week in the evenings after teaching into the city. So that's like 1 hour train there, 1 hour back. So it would be super painful if I lost all of it immediately. One of the positives, I mean, if you want to find positives in the COVID situation, is that things are just much more readily available online now. So like the school that I have been going to in Taipei that I really like I like their teaching methods, I like the textbook they use. They previously didn't offer online classes, but now they are. So they told me I could continue with them, which is a possibility. I had some language partners out here, and we said we're going to try to do some FaceTimes every once in a while. So we'll see.
We can also FaceTime. We can do like a Chinese-Spanish thing, because I'm not going to lie, y'all. I've always been like, people who are born bilingual, it's like, it's so amazing. And it's just, I wish I had that opportunity, but I mean, learning Chinese has been great for me. But man, being able to just walk about and switch between two languages is just awesome.
Yeah.
And like, and going back home where you can, like you said, having your foot in both worlds, being able to go back and forth and have that feeling again. I can't imagine, but I can't relate, because it's not an experience of mine. But it's just, you know, I'm happy hearing you talk about it. I'm happy and excited you are for that. And you know, I know there are pockets of communities here in Taiwan where you can have like a little dip of it, if you will, but again, it's still different, because me and you can go outside and we can speak in English, and if I spoke Spanish, speaking Spanish, when we go in 7-Eleven, we gotta speak Chinese again, because we're still in Taiwan. It's very, very different.
And then we're all like spread out here, right? So I was in Danshui, and Danshui is like a pretty local place. You'll find more foreigners there now, but still in general, it's not like I meet Latino or Spanish speaking folks on the regular. So yeah, it'll be good. But yeah, let me know if you want to do that Chinese-Spanish exchange.
I do. I'm make this story quick. Yeah, my Puerto Rican girlfriend of 5 years, she really hammered the Spanish in 10 minutes. She broke my heart. Nah, I'm joking. We definitely separated. But yeah, like I definitely want to get it back, because I want, you know, some I'm just passionate about. I love languages, and something I want to do. But yeah, so let's encapsulate your Taiwan experience, and let's just do a paragraph. What is your, if you are talking to fam, like someone, you were reflecting to your future child, or you're talking to your mom, dad, when you get back home and say, hey, how was Taiwan? But keep it short. Like, and just encapsulate all the feelings, the emotions, everything that you've been through. Like, just highlight what you've learned. Let me reorder. What you'll miss, what you've learned, and what you're glad that you did while you were here, that you'll never forget. About your experience of being here in Taiwan since you're now leaving.
Okay. Wow. What I'll miss, what I've learned, and what I'm glad I experienced.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. Carl.
That's a very, this that's is, an easy question.
Is it though? I feel like, okay, for me especially, I'm someone who likes to just like push down all of my emotions and not necessarily process them. So like coming up on this leaving point, I've been very much doing the pushing down because I don't want to think about leaving because it makes me sad. Oh. So this is probably good for me. Look at me. I thought I was just doing a podcast. Turns out we're doing therapy too. Man, what will I miss?
Yeah.
Sheesh, so much. I mean, I'm just going to miss in general. Wow. I mean, I already miss my students. I miss like that feeling when you walk in on the morning and like 40 kids are like, teacher, teacher, you know, like that kind of warmth and joy is not something you're going to get in every job. I'm just going to miss like the simplicity of things and just like walking out on the street in the morning and seeing like everyone set up for market and the old people talking to each other and that kind of just like really close-knit community vibe. I'm not necessarily part of it, but it's still heartwarming to witness, mm-hmm. you know? And I think a lot of times we don't have that slow pace in the States where people just like slow down and talk to each other in that way. In some communities, yes, but not all. Just the general hospitality of people literally just being like, here's my home and here's my family and let me just like do everything I can to make you have like a good experience. I will miss that. But I'm looking forward to maybe creating that in my own home for other people, you know, because I've had a lot of friends who go to the States who are maybe international students who really haven't had that experience coming into American culture. So it'll be cool to maybe try to recreate that on the opposite end. What have I learned? Carl, this is coming from a guy who's known me since I was 20.
Top two things.
I mean, the change has been immense, yes. what have I learned? So much. I think in general, what's been reinforced to me over and over again is like, I very much overthink and doubt myself a lot. But Taiwan has really shown me like I can do a lot. Like I've been out here navigating so many things that I know nothing about on my own for the most part, you know? So I guess whenever I get that imposter syndrome of like, what am I really doing? Am I a real adult? Can I like actually function in a real adult job, this kind of thing. Like it really helps to recall, you know, some of these moments of like coming here fresh out of college, just being like basically dropped in a classroom and being like, do this thing
and figure it out.
Yeah. With teenagers who are terrifying because I was like, they're just going to see that I'm a nerd and they're going to be like, ha. You know, so just being able to just recall all of these moments, things where I navigated even simple things like setting up phone contracts, you know, renting an apartment using an app that has all Chinese on it, you know, these kinds of things. It's
apartment renting is its own monster.
It's its own. Yeah. But just, yeah, to have that trove of experiences where it's like, I did this, I could do this. I can do it again in a different context is really encouraging for me. And just seeing a lot of other people out here do the same and really like establish their dreams. Like Carl, for example, you know, setting up his own bar and just like people like him who have come here, they're not in their own culture and have, you know, really gone for what they want and done it. I've learned a lot from that, just about, you know, not letting fear hold you back. I mean, it's still a learning process. I definitely get held back by fear still sometimes, but I think that's one of the main lessons I've learned is just like to stop doubting myself. And to just be confident for the most part. That's the main one, I think. What was the last question, Carl? What will I miss? What have I learned?
And what you'll never forget.
Oh, I never so much. I mean, there's so many memories. I don't even know. I've tried. I think I have like 8,000 pictures in my phone because try to document every moment. You know, just even the little things. like the cracks in the wall from the earthquakes, or like, you know, it's just like random things that growing up in Indiana, where we don't really have much going on at all, it seems like so much is so memorable. Mm. To nail it down to specific moments, I just
one. Top
just
memory.
Well, one.
I mean, you kind of already said it.
I mean, okay. Actually, wait. Yeah. No. I got it. This is actually from my first time in Taiwan, Carl.
Huh.
Again, super young. It's my first time, like, really out here alone. Well, no, I spent a month in Brazil when I was 19. But still, regardless, I was, like, more alone-ish here other than Carl watching over. I decided I might never come back to Taiwan. I got to get to Taroko Gorge on the East Coast because I'd seen so much about it. I was like, I got to see these gorges with like these marble walls and everything. It looked beautiful. So I said to myself, I'm doing it. Even though I was like pretty broke at the time. And I didn't know how the heck to get there. Everyone was like, you can't do it in a day. And I was like, I'm going to do it in a day. So I did, and to this day I don't really know how I did it. I just like got on a bus, I got on a train. I don't even know if I had data at all at this time on my phone. I think I was relying on like public Wi-Fi. Oh my gosh, how did I not get super lost? But anyways, so I get on this train, I get out there, I somehow get to the national park. I'm taking the public buses to like the different points in the national park to like see the views. Whatever. Point being, I know there's a schedule. I'm climbing to get to this shrine on the top of this one hiking little path. And then I realize that the bus is coming. So I try to get there fast, but somehow I miss the bus.
Oh, no.
So I'm like, I need to walk to the next point. I've walked to the next point. It starts raining. Other buses, like private tour buses, are just like zooming past me on these curves, on these mountainous roads that I'm walking on while it's raining. And I'm like, so I'm either going to slip off this mountain because it's raining. I'm going to get hit by one of these buses or I'm just going to get super lost. So I ended up hitchhiking, the only time I've ever done this.
Wow. In Taiwan hitchhiking?
Yes. So then I got in someone's car and they took me to like a safe point, but luckily I didn't die. But then I realized I was out of money and I needed to get back to Taipei. And then some random people bought me dinner, and then some other random people shared a taxi with me to the train station.
Wow.
Then I basically snuck onto the train. The conductor caught me and was like, you need to pay when you get to Taipei, even though I couldn't understand most of what he said, but he like wrote how much I need to pay on the back of the thing. And then once I got to Taipei, I pretty much just like sprinted through the thing after someone so that I didn't have to pay. And then I got back to Danshui safely. But that was like a whole adventure. And I'll just remember it always because I definitely didn't know what I was doing. I didn't have Google or anything. But Taiwan is that kind of place where people will just like help you along the way and keep you safe at the same time. So yeah, it's a very memorable time. That's for my first time. But I think because it was my first time, it was more memorable. Like being here for 2 years, there's so much. So it's kind of hard to extract certain things. Yeah, but that one for sure. I think that was like one of the moments where I was like, I have to come back to this place because I made that trip because I thought I wasn't going to come back. And I was like, this wasn't enough. Like, I need to experience this more. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely know. If you really sit back and reflect on your own individual journey, again, I was fortunate enough to be here for the very beginning of it, at least in Taiwan. And it's like, you know, when you come here and as you're in college as an intern and you really have no idea what you're getting yourself into. And you honestly, it wasn't necessarily blindly because, you know, there would be other DePaul people that went to your school, same school as you here, but you kind of finally jump into an opportunity to teach little kids in a whole new country with a group of people that you may or may not know from university. And, you know, it's just we have a caller in really quick. I'm going to answer this. Hello, how are you?
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. What about you?
Good, how are you?
Yes, my name is Sindhurena. I am a new one on this app, so I don't know much about this app.
Oh, no worries. Yeah, we're just doing a live podcast. Do you have any questions?
Yes, I just want to know about which topic you are talking of. Then I can make a question to you.
Always, yeah, we're just talking. Oh, sorry, you can't hear. I'm doing an interview with someone just about her time in Taiwan, that's all.
Okay, so can I know where are you speaking from? From which country?
From Taiwan.
Taiwan, okay. So can we discuss about Taiwan and Chinese relations and Indian relations?
Yep. Give me one. Oh, sorry, I think he got removed on... I don't know what happened. Hello, can you still hear me? Yeah. So I mean, when you go back, when you go back and you think about, that time when you were here and you're fresh and you were just embracing opportunities, to then leaving and going back to college, graduating and deciding to go from graduating to come back to have that other experience. Again, just me observing and seeing every step, the growth that you've had in each of one of those stages. It was the growth in being an intern while in college and coming to Taiwan and thriving and making it through. And then going back home and deciding to come back and being super independent, having a roommate, and then having a roommate for the first year and living through the first year of experience of being in a full adult, having a full paycheck with real bills, you know, real responsibilities in a different way in a different country. And then losing that security blanket, if you will, but then thriving even more because, I don't know, in this past year, I've seen you travel pretty much everywhere and do some pretty amazing things in a full year, but all on your own. So each stage of, you know, not just being in Taiwan, but just each stage of life has just shown you something different. I've seen it just from, you know, the outside looking in. But everything you talked about today has really shined light on your experiences, how they've changed and how they've, you know, helped you grow in different ways. So, I mean, yeah, Taiwan for many, Taiwan is always something different for everyone who has the opportunity to stay here, no matter how long. But I think I've always been a firm believer that if you come to Taiwan with a purpose and you are committed to what you're doing in the classroom, whether you're teaching or not, and you actually have goals and you chase them, you surround yourself with good people and a good environment, that you can really have an amazing, life-changing, and unforgettable experience here, which it sounds like from everything you've said that you've definitely had.
Definitely. Definitely. It makes it hard to leave. It's a special place. Yeah, it is. But I'm still excited for the next step.
Yeah, it's
but I'm grateful. Yeah.
For everything Taiwan has Taiwan and its people and the people, foreign and domestic, has made the experience great. So again, for me, it's been a pleasure and honor. Family now, having Daniela here, and also leaving. And it's always, I've learned because I've lost so many people hiring over 100 plus since I've been here. It's always bittersweet seeing them leave. So I've become a little bit easier, but it's still, it's harder when it's someone like you, when it's, you know, family, more than just friends and more than just, you know, someone that you taught with for a year or so, but someone that, you know, you're going to know for the rest of your life, that you're going to miss. So again, I'm going to miss you. I love you. But more importantly, I am uber proud of you and I'm excited. I'm just amazed and honored to have witnessed everything that you've lived through and have accomplished. I'm just honored to be a part of the process that you've done here in Taiwan, and I'm so proud of you.
Thanks, Carl.
I love you. You're amazing.
Love you too.
Nothing but the best in the future. So
thanks. And we're both from the Midwest, so the chances that we see each other again,
very high. I'm not coming to Indiana, I'm not gonna lie.
No,
but
that's fine. I go to Chicago a lot, so it's all good.
And I love you, Indiana. All my people in Indiana, y'all what's up? But no.
Yeah, I get it.
They shut down Broad Ripple View from Indiana because, you know, COVID, baby. Yeah, they did. But whatever. But this is part of the podcast. You have any questions for me?
Me? Mm-hmm. Any questions for you? Mm-hmm. Oh, see, you didn't prep me for this. Shoot. If this was an interview, I'd have my whole little notepad ready to go. Questions for you.
Okay.
Let's see. So, when COVID is over, where's the first place you're gonna go?
Home.
Okay. And the second place?
Oh, New Zealand. See, I want to go home because, you know, family, I miss them. I don't like not being able to go home because somebody telling me not to. When I say telling me not to, I mean Taiwan talking about they're gonna take away your health care and it's hard as shit to get back in and all this quarantine time. I ain't trying to waste days like that. Even though it would be great podcast to go home and talk about the experience of going through COVID, but it's also really risky because I ain't trying to give my family COVID. Not really with that. However, going home after that, I'm going to New Zealand because my godson's out there, but more importantly, New Zealand's awesome. It's clean, food's really good, great weather, kind of environment I like. Love it. I miss it. Either New Zealand or for sure, either New Zealand or Australia. One of those two countries I'll be going to.
Nice.
Any other questions?
Yes. So, What is your next dream for Taiwan, your life in Taiwan?
Oh, shoot. Taiwan, I've always wanted to have a radio show. I think having a radio show in Taiwan would be dope. Because I have lots to talk about, a lot of experiences. And I think doing interviews with expats is super fun. I think I have a very diverse background, even though most of it's been in teaching. But through having the bar and just meeting people, I've met a bunch of different people. So I think having interviews would be great because my perspective is, I have a neutral perspective, but also have a very diverse perspective. So I think it would be amazing. But yeah, that's the next thing I want to do. I mean, I have a bar now. I've always wanted to have a small, legit hole-in-the-wall bar. I get three types of beer and four types of whiskeys, and that's it. And you come there, you're going to get good music, whatever. So, I mean, it's just, that's what I've always wanted to have. Now, whether that's in Taiwan, New Zealand, or in America, I don't know. But yeah, in Taiwan, the next step is just continue with podcasting, hopefully have a radio show, and, you know, hopefully have another small bar or even a bigger bar. I don't know. But just something along the business-wise I want to do next for myself in Taiwan.
Nice. I like it. I could see that.
But first, podcast.
I'll go to that bar. Wait, if you did a radio show, would you do, like, bilingual? Would you mix it up with some Chinese and try to get, like, a local audience, too? Try to get people to, you know, connect with the foreign experience more?
That would be cool. I think it is finding one. I know I could communicate in both languages. And I think there is a huge audience of Taiwanese people who can speak English and Chinese who would love to tune into that. Mm-hmm. It's just finding the co-host, somebody that it's just consistency. Yeah. I want somebody that I would do an episode each week. We don't have to be in the same room now. Mm-hmm. We podcast, like that would be great. But I know Taiwan, they love video. So that'd be something that was recorded. I don't really want to focus on that. I kind of want to stick to radio and bring back radio, if you will.
Right.
But I don't know. We'll see what happens.
All right. Well, let me work on my Chinese a little more and we'll see.
Yeah. Right. It's just hella fun. But we did get a question from Julia, one of our listeners. I want to know who has been your wildest bar prune at Arts and Crafts. Our wildest bar. And it's going to sound weird, but from my perspective, Patrick, when he gets drunk, he's crazy as hell.
I'd say that's Patrick.
Yeah, it's definitely Patrick. But no.
But he's not a patron.
He's not a patron. He's a co-owner.
Yeah.
Wildest person, patron at the bar, patron. Is it patron or patron?
Patron.
There we go. I'll get it. I'm not good with words today. Probably been, I'll say this. When I say wild, I don't mean we had a bunch of drunk people, and I don't want to call out no names because, you know, drink in peace. A while, it's been one. I won't say her name, but one lovely young lady who comes in, and she's just so funny because she talks to everybody. She's not overly drunk where it's like she's stumbling and she doesn't know what she's saying. She knows exactly what she's saying. She can drink pretty much everybody under the table except the owners, but she's always engaging and she always challenges people, but it's done in a respectful and tasteful way. And I've never thought I could see someone that could do that and balance her alcohol and her enthusiasm and her energy and her. Like her personability, the way that she does. So again, it's amazing. I love it when she comes in because she brings the energy. She challenges you. She says, "Hey, make me a good drink. And that drink better be good." She's gonna let everybody know that it's not. So like having somebody that's that engaging, just been amazing to have at the bar. Man, we have some stories yet, but again, we want to keep client owner
confidentiality.
There you go, confidentiality. Because there's some crazy stuff that's happened that we wish didn't happen for sure. But oh my God, especially when we first opened, Jesus. Mm. But overall, that's been the craziest, not craziest, but the most outgoing and interesting bar patroon we've had so far. But thank you, great question, Julie.
Yeah, I haven't come enough to know.
Yeah, now y'all got crazy too. Remember that time we had our own shots? That's pretty much every time she comes.
I was like which time?
Because we definitely be turning up.
Yes.
On a Thursday.
Yes.
But any other questions from you, Daniela, or any of the listeners? Any questions for Daniela from the listeners? Anything?
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a delay, so I'm going to wait like a minute.
Just give me easier questions than Carl, because hey, I was not prepared.
That's a pretty good question.
These are some multi-part questions.
You answered them beautiful.
With some details some bearing of the emotional soul.
And it all comes out when it's raw. It's like, it's the best time to answer. And I don't think about it. Just tell me what's the first thing that pops in your mind. What's the first thing that it gives you? Hey, I'm not going to lie. The best performance we've had here, though, was by Julia.
Ooh, Julia.
Julia, are you guys performing?
The birthday one.
For her birthday. They dressed up
with the cats. I didn't get to see it.
Fake home pop, huh? Oh, you didn't get to see it? You should have
come. No. I told you. Every time they have a performance, I've had something else, so I can't come. And I feel so bad. I know you're performing this weekend at Compass Fest, but I can't come this weekend.
I'm going to be slanging drinks.
There's some goodbye dinners and things that people have for me.
You can make that.
Oh.
It's going to be Latin music. Oh, man. I know. The one owner that's screaming from his booth, drunk as hell, singing along to all the songs. That's going to be
me.
Do
you know the songs?
I'm going to Google them.
I might know the songs.
if I can Shazam it, I bring up the lyrics and I try my best.
He knows some of them, she says. Okay.
Yeah, because
last year, I think this is from the Puerto Rican ex-girlfriend.
One of the only performers that got people up and dancing. And I was just so like, man, yes.
I mean,
people,
because it's Latin music.
Up, dancing. Yes.
Oye, ¿cómo va?
Yeah, everybody know that.
Yeah. Yes.
Right. Daniela about to start. She gonna sing it to me as soon as we get off this call. And I'm going to know all the words then.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, definitely. Because last year, everybody was up and dancing, moving around. It was just amazing. Yeah. Hey, for those of you guys listening, because I'm going to upload this podcast for the 25th, Julia, who we are talking to, she's a guest, not calling in, but was sending in amazing questions, will be on the podcast October 25th at 10 p.m. Taiwan time, Sunday night, 10 a.m. American time, Sunday morning. So please tune in for that podcast. And Daniela might call in because she'll be back at home.
Yeah, I can jet lag. I'll be jet lagged, so I'll be doing nothing.
And please feel free to call in and say whatever you want to say.
Okay, I'll bring all the questions.
But yeah, sorry, Daniela. Any other questions for me? Anything else you'd like to tell the people, family, your friends, your future students, your husband?
I don't have a husband. Everybody likes to say this because, yes, I do have a boyfriend. We've been doing long distance. He's back in the States, so I am excited to get back to him, too. But, I guess all I have to say is, shout out to basically anyone who has helped me along the way. Co-workers, friends alike here in Taiwan. You've done a lot for me, everyone. My students, if any of you listen, but you probably won't. But if you do, I've already told you, come visit. You can always have a home at my house. Just overall, want to say, everyone, come visit Taiwan at some point in your lives. It's a great place to come and visit. So do it.
Well, thank you so much, Daniela, for being a part of the Black Expat Podcast. It's been amazing having you on as a guest, as a friend. Thanks for spending one of your final days in Taiwan with me. I really appreciate you coming all the way down to Taichung from Dan Shui. Again, love you. Appreciate you. Thanks for having an amazing story. I hope everyone listening. Thank you, Julia.
Yes, she said good luck in Spanish. Buena suerte. Thanks, Julia.
And been more than a pleasure and honor to have you on the podcast. Wishing you nothing but the best in the future moving forward. Those of you guys tuning in, please don't forget, click the only link in the description to become a Patreon of the Black Expat Podcast. I really appreciate you guys with that. Custom content comes to all Patreons, as well as supporting me on my dream and my passion of becoming a full-time podcaster and inevitably my own full-time radio show wherever in the world podcasting takes me. A bunch of amazing episodes coming up. My first solo podcast in what seems like forever will be coming up this upcoming Monday. And then another interview with Julia next Sunday at 10 p.m. USA time, 10 a.m. Sorry, 10 a.m. USA time, 10 p.m. Taiwan time. That is October 25th. Tune into that. That is 24th. I'm sorry, October 24th. That is 7 days before Halloween. Wait, let me check that date one more time. I don't like getting stuff wrong, as you guys can tell. I had to make sure I get these dates right so you guys tune in at the right time. And as I was right, October 25th. Yeah, October 25th, Sunday. Tune in for that. Thank you for tuning in. Anything else, Daniela?
That's it, Carl. Thank you for having me.
Safe travels. Hope you have an amazing flight. We love you. My name, thank you for being a part of the show. A pleasure having you on. Thank you, guys. My name is Carl, the Black Expat, and we are out here.